Now, the diamond suit, as you probably know, belongs to the third phase of the development of the Prajnaparamita literature. In the first phase, you just have the initial statement, as it were. I think that's the Ratnaguna Samchyagata and the perfection of wisdom in 8,000 lines. And then you have this magnificent proliferation into books of, 10,000, 25,000 lines, 100,000 lines, and so on. That's the second phase. And in the third phase, you have the boiling down. All these hundreds and thousands of shlokas, verses, being reduced to their very essence. And the Diamond Sutra belongs to this third phase of the Prajnaparamita literature development. And this week, as last week, I'm still talking about cutting. Last week's talk was all about cutting. But today, it's also about cutting, because the Sanskrit title of the sutra is the Vajra Chedika, the diamond bolt, the diamond thunderbolt cutting sutra. So this week it's not a sword, it's a Vajra. Now, following me at this podium last week was Padmavajra, and he was also speaking about Manjugosha's sword in the form of the diamond sword of wisdom, which is extolled in the stories and commentaries of the Blue Cliff Record. And one Chan master he quoted intimated to his monks that the diamond sword of wisdom, this supreme symbol, the diamond sword of wisdom, is to be found while pissing and shitting in the rat-infested privies. That was a bit of a shock. That is, it's to be found in the very heart of the mundane, at the very base, in the course of our most humdrum activities. Drawing water, chopping wood, eating a simple meal, walking back to the Jeta Grove after the alms round, washing his feet, putting away his cloak and his bowl. This is the opening of the Diamond Sutra. And the first theme I want to reflect on is ordinariness. Ordinariness. It's a Hinayana opening to a Mahayana Sutra. The Buddha, the enlightened human being, gets up, takes his cloak and his bowl, and enters the great city of Shravasti to collect alms, which he does every day. And then, when he's eaten and returned from his round, he puts away his cloak and his bowl, he washes his feet, and then he sits down on the seat which has been arranged for him. A meticulous account of another unsensational day in the life of Gautama the Buddha. That's one of my favourite phrases from Bhante's Wisdom Beyond Words. So the point here is, ordinary life is enlightenment. Enlightenment is to be found here and now in our ordinary comings and goings, our prosaic comings and goings. It's the ordinary as wonderful. But what is the ordinary for us? It's not squatting in rat-infested privies. That would be rather extraordinary here in Sirlingham. No, it's not that. It's me, for example, it's me standing at the post office grill in Brundle. Brundle's across the river. It's a village across the river. It's a very ordinary village. Believe me, I was going to say it's extraordinarily ordinary. So it's me in Brundle last week. I'm standing at the post office grill, and the woman behind the counter is asking me if she gave me my change. Or it's me a few minutes earlier than that, still in the post office queue, wishing that the old dear in front of me would step on it. so that I can get back to the peace of my room and continue my preparation of the talk on the Diamond Sutra.